3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager! That just happened! Thank you very much!
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
Yes, the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill here. Thanks for coming back. Boy, a wild one to talk about from last night. Just an up and down roller coaster type ball game that the Mariners end up pulling off in extra innings. So this series is tied at one apiece against the Tigers with a big one coming today. Day baseball, we'll talk about that matchup coming up in just a few minutes. Also, Josh Kearns is back. A very interesting piece about, you know, he's been going kind of outside the lines the last few weeks talking about Mariners baseball. And they're always excellent, and this one is no different. So a good one coming up from Josh Kearns. And also Shannon Dreher is going to talk to Mark Lowe, who is, you know, forget about just Seattle. He is one of the best stories in all of baseball, what he's managed to do in terms of coming back, everything he's been through the past few years, the injuries, you know, fighting back. And not only is he back, he has been dominant in this first half of the season for the Mariners. I have a couple of numbers to go along with that that are pretty shocking. He pitched again last night and was awesome. And Shannon, a chance to catch up with Mark Lowe, who has just been tremendous. So that comes up as well. In the meantime, Taiwan Walker on the hill, and he has been nothing short of sensational his past seven starts. But this one, a little bit rocky, as the Tigers put three runs on the board in the second inning. And once again, without Miguel Cabrera, the Tigers, well, they've had teeth. They have roared, and they've been very good. Even without Miguel Cabrera, they've been hitting the baseball. They have a number of guys who are really rolling right now. And they jumped on the M's early, a 3-0 lead for the Tigers. But that all changed in the third inning, thanks to Austin Jackson, one big swing of the bat against his former team.
The left-hander is 0-2. Swing, and this is clubbed to left field. It's got a lot to it, and it's gone. Grand slam, Austin Jackson, number one in his career. He stings his former team, and it gives the Mariners a 4-3 lead. On an 0-2 pitch, Austin Jackson, a grand salami. Grandma getting out the rye bread and mustard. It's grand salami time.
Austin Jackson, grand slam to give the Mariners the lead with one swing. And they weren't done in the inning. Next batter, Franklin Gutierrez.
The 3-1 swing of this club plugs the gap. Right center field. Does this have enough? Yes, it does. Gutierrez, his first home run in a long, long time in the big leagues. He'll touch them all. The Mariners go back-to-back. How does that feel, Detroit? It's now 5-3 Mariners.
Franklin Gutierrez going yard for the first time in a long time. September 27th, 2013, he took Bartolo Colon, who at the time was pitching for the Oakland A's deep. That was the last major league home run for Franklin Gutierrez. Pops one out, back-to-back jacks, a five spot on the board in the third, so a 5-3 lead. But the seesaw continued. Taiwan Walker gives up two more in the fourth inning, so it's a tied ball game once again. 5-5 going to the fifth inning, but then the Mariners snatch the lead back. Robinson Cano.
The pitch swung on, well hit ball, center field. Ghost going back, warning track wall, goodbye baseball! Holy smokes, Robbie Cano with his sixth home run of the season. Straight away center field, and the Mariners regain the lead 6-5 on their third home run of the ball game, and it was a line drive home run off the bat of Robinson Cano.
So the lead back for the M's at that point. Taiwan Walker hangs two more zeros on the board, so he ends up going sixth. And, you know, I'm impressed by this start. Didn't have his great stuff, and clearly not as dominant as he was the last seven starts. But this was impressive in that, He had some starts earlier where he was hit hard early in a start and the wheels fell off. This was different. He gives up 5 and 4 innings, but then 2 more zeros on the board to give the Mariners 6 innings. The bullpen had to work extra in the game yesterday or the day before, and so Walker gives him 6 innings. So the final line's not pretty. 6 innings, 6 hits, 5 runs, 1 walk and 3 strikeouts, gives up 3 home runs. But put it in context and what happened early in the season and what happened in this game, those 2 extra innings of no runs, huge. Especially in context of what happened early in the season. So I thought it was impressive the way Taijuan Walker finished this one out. And this is what he had to say after the ballgame about it. Mark Lowe takes over in the 7th inning. He just continues. His ERA 0.69, frigid. He goes an inning and strikes out the side as his domination continues. Fernando Rodney comes on in the 8th. He gives up a long ball. Cespedes takes him yards, so once again, we're back to even, and this is when the bullpen takes over, and Carson Smith goes a couple innings, just gives up 1 hit, doesn't walk anyone, no runs, 5 strikeouts, a career high. He did that on 36 pitches, and then Charlie Furbush got himself into a little bit of trouble with a leadoff double, but then he got nasty.
And again, the 1-2 pitch to Rajay Davis. Swing and a foul tip into Zunino's glove for strike 3, and that will retire the side. Charlie Furbush strikes out the side here in the top half of the 11th inning, and the Tigers leave the go-ahead run stranded at third.
And then that set the Mariners up for heroics in the bottom of the 11th inning. Robinson Cano coming up. Jackson aboard, Gutierrez aboard, a chance to win the ball game.
And the 2-1 pitch, swing and a drive down the right field line. This one is off the base of the ball. Here comes Jackson on to score. Mariners win it 7-6 here in the bottom of the 11th inning on a single by Robbie Cano. And he is getting mobbed by his teammates between first and second. The Mariners win it tonight in 11. 7-6 over the Detroit Tigers.
7-6 winners in 11 innings. Robinson Cano, it just continues. He's been scorching in July. 2 more hits in this one, including the home run, the game-winning base hit, drives in 2. And boy, with him coming to life, it just changes the entire dynamic of the offense. Already, July 1st, he had 4 hits July 1st. 12 hits already for the month through 7 days. He's hit for power, a couple of home runs, a couple of doubles during that span as well. He's been driving in runs, 7 RBIs since the month has started. And right now he is absolutely rolling at the plate, and it just completely changes the dynamic of this offense. A game the Mariners win 7-6 in 11 innings. Here what Robinson Cano had to say after the game.
I didn't pay attention before I hit where they were playing, and, you know, thank God I came through in the situation.
Kind of a wild ride, wasn't it?
Well, you know, it's the kind of game when, you know, you can say it as a team that we got the stuff to win, and we can compete with anybody. You know, they can bat and tie the game, and we keep battle the whole game, and yeah, that's what we want. We want, you know, this kind of game, you fight until the end and be able to go home with a win.
That much more important because last night you put up the big inning, but after that you really didn't have the kind of counterpunch.
It's always good to bounce back after you lose a game like last night. You know, you was winning the game, then you ended up losing. But like I said, you know, every game is mean for the team. So, you know, one thing you can do is look back what happened last night and just got to go out there tonight, and be able to, you know, compete from the beginning. We know we're facing one of the best teams in the American League, and, you know, from 1 through 9 hitter, alone can hit. And
how good are you feeling at the plate right now? I mean, you hit the home run, and you had some hard balls to left center. How good are you feeling?
Well, I mean, you know, I was going to, you know, I'm going to say this. I've been feeling, you know, good in my swing the whole year. I've been hitting a lot of ball hard, but, you know, when you start getting hits, it's different, like it's less thinking for you, so you don't have to think what you're doing wrong or what you have to do to get those hits and, you know, be able to come through in that situation. Well, we've been having trouble the whole year, especially myself, doing our job with minutes scoring position.
Hey, how much did it change the club, the dugout, when Austin hit that grand slam? I mean, you're down 3-0. It was a tough start, and he hits that grand slam like that. I mean, how much did that change everything?
Well, especially for myself, it changed a lot because, you know, every game that we've been fighting, we always wait until 7-8 inning or after the 15th inning. We always got one or two hits and be able to come through early and, you know, give Taiwan a little bit so he can come, you know, with a close game. And instead of being 6-0, it was a game that, you know, it was 6-5, I was winning. And it's always big, you know. That's what he called the hot dog out when he hit a grand slam. And, you know, it's like I said, the last two games we've been coming through, we've been in scoring position.
And, of course, he wasn't the only one who was thrilled. Austin Jackson, the grand slam, taking it to his former team.
You see so many good things from the offense. What's it like to see that hit from Robinson Cano across home plate?
Oh, that's clutch right there. That's what Robbie's capable of doing. You know, he's been swinging the bat great these past couple games, and he looks locked in. And, you know, there's no better guy you want up right there. Like I said, that was a clutch hit, and he's swinging the bat well for us.
You took care of things early for this team, your first career grand slam. You step up to the plate. You see that the starter is struggling a little bit. There are runs on base. What are you looking for in that situation?
Well, I got down 0-2, so honestly, I was just trying to put the ball in play, you know, and not hitting to a double play right there. And I was able to get a slider down and in and put good wood on it and hit it out. So.
Is that one that you knew was out? I mean, the ball was really flying tonight.
Oh, man, not really. You know, sometimes when you when you hit him like that and you see the guy go back and, you know, you think you hit it good, but, you know, he's camped under it. You never know. But the balls are flying tonight. So when I seen him kind of stop running, I knew I got it.
That's something you kind of noticed in batting practice the last couple of days.
Honestly, yeah. It's crazy because, you know, earlier in the season, you know, the ball wasn't traveling as much, especially in BP, like you said. And these past couple days in BP, you started to see the balls. You know, they're flying everywhere, so I guess it's starting to heat up here in Seattle a little bit.
And after the game, Trent Jewett talked about this one. He talked about Taiwan Walker and echoed some of what I said before, how this was impressive, how he gave the Mariners six innings despite getting hit early. I should mention, too, Walker actually walked someone in this game was pretty remarkable. He came into this game with three walks in his last seven starts since May 29th. He's walked three guys. To put that in perspective, 281 pitchers walked three or more in one outing. Not during that span, one outing. That gives you a good idea what Taiwan Walker has been all about in terms of control. So he did walk someone in this game, which ended his walkless streak, which was getting pretty long.
The windup and the 3-2 pitch is up and away for ball four, and that is the first walk given up by Taiwan Walker in 28 and two-thirds innings. He's went 28 and two-thirds innings without a walk.
Long, 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 long time. One of the longest streaks in Mariners history. Very impressive. Here's Trent Jewett after the game.
No, it wasn't an easy one. Well, there's a lot. I mean, I thought Walker persevered. I really did. I mean, he went up against a good lineup. And a lot of times a young pitcher gives up home runs, it beats them down, and they lose faith and they lose poise. And that wasn't the case. I mean, he kept pumping it in there. His command within the strike zone, especially with his fastball, wasn't as sharp as it has been. But under the circumstances, you know, to go out there and continue to compete and continue to make efforts to execute the game plan that was presented to him, I think it's pretty special of a young kid. Carson Smith, phenomenal. You know, two huge innings. And then Furbush pitching through adversity. We had big hits. You know, Jack, and really the two biggest hits other than Robbie's of the game were 0-2 pitches, which is very unusual. You know, he had five runs driven in on 0-2 pitches in a total of two occasions. So it's it was a fun one.
Robbie's, you know, Lloyd's talked about it. His teammates have talked about it. They've always believed that Robbie was going to kind of come back. But I think he's starting to make other people believe now with the way he's coming back.
Well, and other people you're referring to?
Well, just like fans and everybody outside.
Well, there's a reason Robbie Cano has had such fanfare. He's earned it. I mean, this guy's played under the brightest lights and the biggest stage, and he's done it. year in, year out with success. And for him to have an off month or an off 6 weeks, I don't think that's an indictment on Robbie Cano. I think it's a sign of being human. But I want him on my team, and I know the 24 teammates and his manager and the coaching staff, they want him as well, and we're fortunate to have a player his caliber.
So that brings us to this afternoon at Safeco Field, 12:40. First pitch, Jay Happ is going to take the mound for the Mariners. He has just been delicious at home this year. He's been very impressive at Safeco Field. In fact, you know, you look at his last two starts at Oakland, gives up 3 runs on 6 hits, bad luck along the way. And then the start before that against the Angels, gave up 4 earned runs in 7 innings. Both games, you know, you watch him, the final line I don't think really indicates how good he's been. I think he's pitched really well as of late. And he's back home against a team that likes to hit the long ball, so this is going to be a tough matchup nonetheless. But you look at it at Safeco Field this year at 2.08 ERA in 7 starts. He's been able to keep the ball in the yard, just 3 home runs in those 7 starts. That's really going to be something to watch. We've seen it firsthand against the Tigers in these first 2 days. Even without Cabrera, they pack a punch. They can wallop the baseball out of the yard. So it's up to Jay Happ to keep it in the yard. That's going to be the key. Anibal Sanchez is going to get the call for Detroit. It's been kind of a roller coaster of a year, 7-7 with a 4.65 ERA. And his last start is a perfect example. Here he is against the Toronto Blue Jays, and he's absolutely rolling. In fact, he's taking a no-hitter deep into the ballgame, pitches 7 scoreless, and then gets tagged for 4 runs in the 8th inning. So he ends up going 7 1/3. And gives up 4 runs, walking 3. And what was a start where he took a no-hitter deep into the ballgame. Ends up giving a bunch of runs. And it's been a lot of starts like that. I mean, it's hard to know exactly what we're going to see from Sanchez today. He's had starts like against Cincinnati the 15th of June, where he pitched a complete game 2-hitter. The start before that, he pitched 7 2/3, scoreless against the Cubs. But then he had 2 games in May, once against the Brewers, he gave up 7 3 2/3. The next start against the Astros, he gave up 7 5 2/3. And those 2 outings in particular have not helped his season at all. So you look at the splits kind of month by month. April, 5.46 ERA, May, 5.97, but then settled in June, brought it down to a 2.63. But then in July, back to a 4.91. Of course, it was that start I was just talking about a moment ago, that one start against the Blue Jays. Now, he's a righty, but he's had the reverse split action going this year, where lefties just batting 2.06 against him, righties batting 2.63 against him. Now, you heard me a moment ago talk about how it's going to be so important for Jay Happ to keep the ball in the yard. Well, on the other side of things, perhaps the Mariners can take advantage of Sanchez and taking him out of the yard. This year, Sanchez has given up 18 home runs. That's the 3rd most in the American League, behind Phil Hughes of the Twins and C.C. Sabathia of the Yankees. So he's coughed up 18 jacks this season. So maybe the Mariners we'll add a few more homers to their tally before things are all said and done with Detroit in this series. Again, 12:40, first pitch from Safeco Field today. The Mariners look for the series win. Now, pitching last night, Mark Lowe was absolutely tremendous once again. His ERA down to 0.69. Now, that ERA is incredibly impressive. In fact, if you look through Mariners history and you look at all pitchers with at least 10 appearances in the first half of the season, so before the All-Star break, Mark Lowe has the best ERA in Mariners history at 0.69. There's only been a couple of guys that have finished the first half with an ERA under 1. Remember Shigetoshi Hasegawa in 2003, when he went to the All-Star game, where he was just unbelievable, only gave up 4 runs in the entire first half of the season. And then 2007, J.J. Putz in his All-Star season as well. he was great. His ERA was under one as well in the first half. But right now, Mark Lowe is the best of the bunch for any Mariner with 10 or more appearances. And he still has a handful of games to go to try and keep that going. But a 0.69 is awfully, awfully good. And here's Shannon Dreher with Mark Lowe.
Catching up with Mark Lowe. And Mark, we saw last night it was kind of a typical performance for you. Never quite sure when you're coming in, but you're going to be ready for anything. Could be one batter, could be six batters. You come in, a close game. What's your mindset when you're going in? You're facing the A's. It's a team we've seen quite a bit before, and one run game.
Well, I was, you know, you sit down there in the pen, you kind of watch the hitters' approaches throughout the course of the series, and typically they're a team that is really patient early in the past, and it seemed like all four of those games they were extra aggressive, first pitches, and just definitely, you know, taking that into consideration in a one-run game or a tie ball game. You don't just want to serve a cookie in their farm and, you know, tie the game in one swing. So just did my best to show them that I was going to throw off speed no matter what the count was, even behind or ahead. And just kind of keep them guessing and move my fastball kind of all over the zone, and that game plan worked out.
Hitters will say they often believe they're just going to get one pitch from a reliever. They often believe it's going to be early in the count. What's your thought on that?
Well, I think that in the past, yes, that's definitely the case. If you look at prior to this year, I was typically like a 70% fastball pitcher through a lot of them. And if I was a hitter, that's what I would sit on. That's usually the pitch that I would miss with the most over the middle of the plate. So I think that's what hurt me in the past. And this year, just being able to mix in my slider to both sides of the plate in any count, whether it's a righty or a lefty, has definitely played a huge role in my success so far this year.
How different is that slider now than it was when you first broke in?
It's different in the fact that it's completely different.
Well,
the way that I'm throwing it, actually, I talked to Dominic Leon about how he throws his cutter, and that's kind of like my mindset on my slider right now. Something that I picked up in spring training and played with it, and actually when I was in Tacoma, I got a really good feel for what I need to do to throw wherever I want to. So that time in Tacoma was huge for me. By the time I got called up here, I was dialed in, ready to go with it.
You mentioned a second ago you learned something from Dominic Leon this year, which is just fantastic. And I don't know, I think he learned his cutter from a YouTube video, so you might be traced back to that as well. So good going there. But through the years, who are the people who have had the biggest influence on your pitching?
You know, I found myself talking with older veteran players a lot and asking a lot of questions. Even when I was coming up and when I had, you know, 4 or 5 years of service time, I had got to play with Arthur Rhodes and Joe Nathan and Darren Oliver. And I noticed that they all have their things that they do that have kept them in the game for so long. And that's been my goal from day one, is hopefully pitch to them 40 plus. And being around Arthur and being around Darren Oliver and being around Joe Nathan, it's like these guys, they take care of themselves. They're very, they're the same every single day, like, but they all do things so different.
Yeah.
So I just had to find something that was for me, but that I maintain that routine every single day, what works for me. And just talking, pitching and situations and pitching different in different situations as a bullpen guy. For instance, if you're up by 3 or 4, you have a chance to just live in on the inside corner all day. Because the next night you might be in a one-run game, and now you have the outside corner wide open for you because you broke 2 bats the night before. So just little things like that that I would have never thought about, and that only veterans know from experience. And I wanted to pick their brain and never was afraid to ask a question.
Well, it's great to see all that experience and hard work paying off right now. Mark, thank you.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
Great stuff there from Mark Lowe. And now we welcome back Josh Kearns once again with his newest feature.
Imagine having to clean up after a wild party with everything from empty beer bottles to half-eaten food and other garbage left behind. That's pretty much what Joe Myra does for a living. But as the Mariners' vice president of ballpark operations, he has to oversee cleanups like that 81 times a year. Some of the stuff left behind is pretty messy.
It's tough. The garlic fries in the stadium is difficult. Fans love them, but they're difficult to clean up. So, you know, I could probably give you a list. I don't want to gross out the fans too much, but it's It's tough cleaning up after a large party like that.
Oh, I love trash.
Luckily, he's got plenty of help. It starts after all the fans have cleared out of Safeco Field. Upwards of 140 crew members scramble around the stadium picking up all the stuff left behind. Once everything's bagged up, then they bring in the heavy equipment.
Most of the majority of the effort is pressure washing. We have anywhere from 10 to 24 pressure washers depending on attendance.
While fans leave plenty behind, Myra says it's the players who actually make the biggest mess.
I'd say the bullpens are the worst. The bullpens, pitchers have a lot of time on their hands. You know, seeds, chewing tobacco, bubble gum. It's probably the worst area of the building.
In all, Myra says it takes all night just to clean up the stadium after a game.
Most games are between the 6 to 8 hour range, but there's times when we're still cleaning the facility at around 10, 11 a.m. for a 7-10 game.
But just because the stadium's clean, there's still plenty of work left to be done.
Every fan generates about 2.4 pounds of waste at a game. And, you know, that's everything from any kind of giveaway items to concessions to merchandise and everything, all the packaging.
You gotta learn to reduce, reuse, recycle.
Most of it used to just go to the landfill, but not anymore.
We actually have 7 streams of waste now, only one of which goes to the landfill. So all the other streams are recycling material, compost, styrofoam, construction debris, plastic bottles, aluminum cans, everything that you can possibly recycle, we do.
The M's have always been at the forefront of environmental efforts, whether it was early adoption of composting or putting in low-energy LED lights.
There's a lot of opportunity, you know, changing the mindset of this is now not just someone else's problem, it's our problem. And we've made a decision to figure out how to do it more efficiently, what's better for the environment.
It's also good for the bottom line. Turns out all the composting and recycling cuts way down on costs, and Myra says the team's always looking for new ways to do even more. But the one thing they'll never be able to do, get us to make less of a mess. If the party ends up at his house, don't expect him to clean up quite the way you'd think.
Do you do the vacuuming at home?
Sometimes. Definitely. I do pitch in a little bit, but nothing compared to what our employees do here. Talk
to me. For the Mariners Sunday Magazine, I'm Josh Kearns.
Fifty-two years ago, Hall of Fame broadcaster Ernie Harwell penned a piece called The Game for All America. And with certainly all respect to Ernie Harwell, we have taken some liberty with this famous piece of English, this essay. My producer, Kevin Kremen, has edited it to kind of personalize it to our use, Mariners baseball. I think you might get a kick out of it. And here is our version of Ernie Harwell's The Game for All America. Mariners baseball is Scoop Jackson tossing out the first ball at the Kingdome in 1977, and a pudgy schoolboy playing catch with his dad on a Yakima farm. It's the big league pitcher with the charitable foundation and the singer who lashes doubles in spring training. A tall, thin old man waving his scorecard from his dugout. That's baseball. So is the big, fat guy with a bulbous nose running out one of his 714 home runs with mincing steps. It's America, this Mariners baseball. A reissued newsreel of boyhood dreams. Dreams lost somewhere between boy and man. It's the Bronx cheer, the Seattle wave, the green monster, the Walla Walla in right field, the landing in center field at Safeco Field, and a rock home plate and a chicken wire backstop anywhere. There's a man from Chehalis who remembers a triple he saw, Harold Reynolds hit in Seattle 20 years ago. That's Mariners baseball. So is the scout reporting that a 16-year-old Sandlot pitcher in Pasco is the new Randy Johnson. It's a wizened man, my dad, shouting insults from the safety of his box seat at the Kingdome, and a big, smiling first baseman, Alvin Davis, playfully tousling the hair of a youngster outside the player's gate. Mariners baseball is a spirited race of man against man, reflex against reflex, a game of inches. Every skill is measured, every heroic, every failing is seen and cheered or booed, and then becomes a statistic. In baseball, democracy shines its clearest. Here, the only race that matters is the race to the bag. The creed is the rule book. Color is something to distinguish one team's uniform from another. Baseball is Sir Alexander Fleming, discoverer of penicillin, asking his Brooklyn hosts to explain Dodger signals. It's player Mo Berg speaking seven languages and working a crossword puzzle in Sanskrit. It's a scramble in the box seats for a foul and a $400 suit ruined. A man barking into a hot microphone about a cold beer. That's baseball. So is a sports writer telling a 383 hitter how to stride and a 20-victory pitcher trying to write his impression of the World Series. Baseball is a ballet without music, drama without words, a carnival without Cupid dolls. A housewife in Puyallup couldn't tell you the color of her husband's eyes, but she knows that Ichiro's hitting 369, has brown eyes, and loves to eat white rice. That's Mariners baseball. So is the bright sanctity of Cooperstown Hall of Fame and the former big leaguer who is playing out the string in the independent leagues.
But it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball again.
See you later!